If your next career opportunity came down to the strength of your online profile, do you think you would get the job? Surprisingly, a lot of people don't even think about their digital brand when applying for new positions. Yet in today's world, it's our digital brand that can make all of the difference. You see, our digital brand allows us to tell our career story online in a way that enables us to get found and get recognized for our expertise. Today's guest helps us put our digital brands into perspective as it relates to everything from dating to obtaining your next job. Sabrina Clark is the director of marketing at brandyourself.com. When she first appeared on the show, we held a fairly wide-ranging conversation about your digital brand. Today, I've narrowed the scope to the 10 easy ways that you can use to improve your digital brand today. So without any further ado, here is Sabrina Clark.
At the end of the day, no matter what you're looking to accomplish, if you want to build out your online brand or if you're looking to suppress the negative, it's rooted in just having a really strong online brand about you and making sure that you're really putting your best foot forward online and telling the story that you want told.
Let's go. Hello and welcome to the Brand New You Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you own your brand. Each week we meet here to learn how you can use today's technology to own your career, grow your influence, and build your personal brand. I'm your host, Ryan Roten, and today it is my pleasure to welcome to the show Sabrina Clark, Director of Marketing at BrandYourself.com. Some of you may remember Brand Yourself from their appearance on The Shark Tank. Sabrina is a proud Marist College alum where she co-founded the Student Entrepreneur Network, and now, as a part of the Brand Yourself team, Sabrina is helping sculpt the future of the online reputation management industry. When she is not at Brand Yourself, Sabrina enjoys trying new restaurants, cheering for the New York Giants, impulse buying the latest deals on Amazon, and spending time with people she thinks are awesome, just like you listeners who are tuning in today. Sabrina, it is my pleasure to welcome you to the Brand New You Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So Sabrina, as we get started, I have one question that I ask every guest as they come on, and that would be, if you could vacation in only one place, where would you go?
That would have to be Italy. I went there when I was younger. I have such great memories there. I have family there. And I just would love to go experience it as an adult and just experience the magic. You know, they got beaches, they've got Rome, which is where I was when I was younger. But I really like to see more of the countryside and stuff you don't find in the tourist books or on the main maps.
The first thing I want to ask, because you live in this space, why is our online reputation so important these days?
Well, it really boils down to the fact that whenever you want to learn about anything or anyone, you're going to go to Google. You know, you're going to go to a search engine and do that search. I know I do it on a regular basis. If someone tells me about a restaurant, if I meet someone at, you know, an event, I want to look them up so I can put the face to the name and see what their background is. If we're hiring at Brand Yourself, we always Google someone. So we're really living in a day and age where people want information and the internet's the place to get it. So it boils down to having an online brand that really portrays who you are and how you want to come across to someone who's looking you up online.
So I have to ask, did you Google me?
I did. You have a great presence, but I mean, you're in this space, so it's a little unfair.
Right. That's very true. It is. But I was curious because, of course, I Googled you as well.
Sure. And in fact, on some of my webinars, I'm sure that you've heard, is I had my own little reputation crisis, if you would. You know, I share a name with a popular NFL cheerleader. So Whatever she does online is portrayed on my own personal brand. And of course, I don't think anyone's going to be thinking that I'm moonlighting as an NFL cheerleader on the side. But, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, you could share a name with someone. You could, if you're not actively building out your online brand, that someone can just build that brand for you. So it's really important that you're actively working to come across as best as possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think a lot of people they kind of, the light bulb kind of clicks on for them when they have something like what you just described happen to you and what happened to me, which is my story is very similar to your founder, Pete's story. And it's Pete Kessler, correct?
Kessler, yes.
Kessler, yeah. So he had a criminal whose name was coming up for him. And I also, there's only four Ryan Rotens in the United States, actually in the world. But one of the four, when I Googled myself for the very first time, was on, you know, five or six of the front page results. And he is a criminal also. He had just been arrested again for selling drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was my light bulb moment. That's when it kind of clicked for me that, you know what, this stuff is important. And I made the decision then that I'm not going to let that guy show up in front of me again. And, you know, now I've put a lot of time and effort into this and he's solidly on page two now. But what do you run into when you have clients who come to you? What is their light bulb moment, do you think, when they come to Brand Yourself and they say, you know what, I think I might need to do something with my profile? Are they just curious, do you think? Or did they have some kind of moment like what we've just talked about?
I think it comes down to, it's definitely a pain point for the majority of our clients that come to us. Of course, some people, you know, they just acknowledge the benefit of a good brand. But the big aha moment for, I would say, a majority are, you know, they Google themselves out of curiosity and they find something negative, or the more extreme aspect, which it's definitely heartbreaking in a sense, is someone tells them about it, whether it's in a job interview, like what happened with Pete, or if it's, you know, a friend that's just curious and Googling them. And that moment of, oh my God, this is what someone's going to see about me. It's plain as day on the front of Google, like on the front of a newspaper. And that's really when they call us and say, hey, you know, what can I do about it? Can I get this removed? What are my options? And we really have to, you know, talk them through that process.
One of the things that I want to kind of cover today, and you actually do a webinar on this, it's called the 10 Easy Ways to Improve Your Online Reputation. So when you have someone come to you like that, what is the first thing that you recommend that they do that will help them improve their online reputation?
So I think an initial reaction that the person has is, how do I get this removed? And as you know, it's very difficult to do so. You know, it requires going to a court, getting a court order, which can be very expensive. You have lawyer fees, all that on top of it. And most cases don't fit the mold for removal. So, you know, we usually have to get them past that barrier and explain that. And then once we get them there, it's about, okay, now that, you know, you have something negative out there, or if you don't have something negative and you're ready to start building your brand, it really comes down to what we call a three-step process. You want to build a solid foundation of websites and profiles about you. You want to make sure that they're optimized for search engines so they have the best chance of ranking for your name and outranking anything negative. And then you want to keep updating that content over time, because what that content will do is it'll suppress the negative and it'll also help build out your positive brand so you can come across as best as possible. So that's really, you know, how we frame that initial conversation. And it's really the best avenue for any situation.
And so what would be one of the first steps that you would have someone do in that? I think you probably already mentioned it, which is you'd maybe have them Google their name so they could review it.
Sure.
Should they just open up Google and type in their name and hit enter? Or is there anything special that they should do to make sure that they get what would be considered the real results?
Sure. So that's when you're going to want to use what we call private browsing or incognito mode if you're using Google Chrome. If you're just typing it in the search bar, typically Google will provide you with what we call personalized results, which can result in your user histories involved, your location, anything that you've done on a Google account like Gmail will influence those results. So if you want the best picture of what's out there about you, open up a private browsing or an incognito window. And to do that, you just go into, I believe it's File and then New Private Browsing Window or New Incognito Window, and you'll be able to get the best picture of what someone else would be seeing if they Googled you.
Okay, and this will sound silly, I think, when I ask it, but people will understand why when you answer it.
Sure.
What name should people look for when they're Googling themselves?
So you should be looking for the name that you think someone's going to search for you. So I typically recommend the name that's on your business card. So if you go by John S. Smith with a middle initial, then you want to Google that. But also try a few combinations, you know, misspellings. If you have a very, you know, hard to spell name, if you have a very common name, then you might want to also add what we call a qualifier. So if you're from a specific company, you might put your name plus the company, your name plus New York. If you're from New York, you really want to put yourself in the person's shoes that is Googling you to figure out, you know, well, what are they actually going to search for?
Step two in the 10 ways here is we want to do some housekeeping. So when you say do housekeeping, what are we referring to?
Yeah, so it might seem obvious, but we've seen time and again people come to us with negatives that are somewhat in their control, whether it's something that they've posted or, you know, a friend that posted it could get it taken down. So what I mean by housekeeping is just go ahead and delete anything that you wouldn't want someone to find about you, whether it's old social media posts, maybe an embarrassing website from when the internet first started. blog posts, anything that, you know, is just adding noise to your brand, just do a housekeeping check of actually what's out there about you, what you've posted, delete what's necessary, and then you have a really solid foundation for, okay, now what do I have to do to start building my online presence?
We've searched our name. We found out some things that we can go clean up because we own that on our own. So we go through that exercise. And then the next step is that we're going to put our name in a few key places. So when you say a few key places specifically, what are we referring to?
Sure. So let's say you have a Twitter profile and it's really not ranking on the first page, but you really want it to. You want to make sure that your name is in a few key places in that Twitter profile because it indicates to search engines, hey, this profile is about this person. You know, search engines aren't going to be able to recognize that unless your name is throughout the page. So we recommend, you know, once you've taken an inventory of everything that's out there about you that you control, make sure that your name is in a number of key places on the profiles. The first obvious spot is the bio. And the best way to get your name in there is to write it in the third person. So instead of for my bio saying, I am, you know, a marketing professional at Brand Yourself, I would instead write a bio that said Sabrina Clark is a marketing professional at Brand Yourself. And that just indicates to search engines that, hey, this profile is about Sabrina Clark. So just go ahead and make sure that your name is in a number of key places. Keep it consistent. So going with the name that's on your business card or the name that you're looking to build your brand under, and just do that housekeeping and make sure your name's, you know, where it should be.
Okay. So we should not use the cute name that we gave to ourselves, like Big JS 151.
Exactly. Exactly. You're not going with your old AOL screen name for this one.
Okay. So when you start to create some of these bios in different sites, should each of the bios be exactly the same from site to site to site?
Actually, no. And this is really important. And I think a lot of people glaze over this fact, but Google and all search engines, I use Google as a term now. It's in the dictionary, so I can use it. Google and all search engines really want to provide unique content to its users. So someone that searches for something, they don't want to show them the same six profiles or the same six pieces of content. So when Google is, you know, Google's crawlers, little bots are figuring out what to show on that first page, they want to pick unique content. So you in turn want to create unique bios for your website, for all of your social media profiles, so that it has the best chance of ranking on the first page. Now, if you have the same bio that you've copied and pasted into all of your profiles and your websites, it's not going to necessarily hurt you, but it's really not going to help you either. So your time is best spent really sitting down, writing a number of really good, unique bios for yourself, and then using those on your profiles going forward.
There's a lot of different sites that people can go out and create, sure. Right? There's Twitter, there's LinkedIn, Google+. I mean, those are just the social media sites. There's also about.me, there's branded.me. What do you recommend people get started with when they're starting to create these unique bios for each site?
So I would recommend starting with what we call the big four. Just like you mentioned, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn. Those are still kind of the big four kahunas. They're the ones that tend to rank the best. Then on the back end, there are more what we call industry-related sites. So sites that, you know, might be related to your profession. If you're in real estate, we've all seen sites like Zillow and Trulia that you can create profiles on. So doing some research about you know, what sites your industry on can definitely help you when you're building out your own brand.
I actually didn't realize this. So the Zillow and Trulia, you just use those as an example. Yeah. If I go in and create a username for that, that username is then searchable or indexable by Google?
Absolutely. Huh. Most profiles or communities have an ability to create, you know, a unique username and therefore a profile within it. So look for ways to do that. Huffington Post, not a lot of people realize you can create a profile on. And in some cases, you can actually contribute content on their blog. So really looking for avenues to create content, profiles to join can really help you build out a brand in the way that you want to build it. And I always recommend taking a look at what is relevant to your own industry. You know, a lawyer is going to have a different audience than a real estate agent. So really look into the types of sites and profiles that you can create that's unique to your own industry or audience that you're looking to speak to.
So there should be some kind of strategy here. We're not just going to go out and willy-nilly put our name all over the place, right?
Exactly. And that's not going to help anyone. You know, going out and creating 100 profiles isn't going to do anything. In fact, Google could even consider it a spam, which could definitely hurt you. So really taking a look at what are the profiles that I want to be on that I can really dedicate time to. We typically recommend that you should really have at least one personal website, so yourname.com, as well as about 10 to 12 profiles. That's a somewhat manageable workload for really creating a solid online brand. And you don't have to be updating them every day. But as long as you're active on them, you know, every few weeks, you're dedicating some time in your schedule to make sure that they're active and relevant, then you'll be good to go.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit more, because number six on the list here is make a schedule and stick to it. And it says, yes. Keep your sites and profiles updated. You know, what should we update those things with?
So you should definitely be looking for first what the profile is. You know, how do you update it? It sounds, you know, simple to say, but you know, a Twitter is updated a lot different than, let's say, a Tumblr page. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're taking a look at what the profile content creation looks like. So for a Twitter, let's say, we'll use that as an example. You can tweet your own things. You can retweet what other people are saying. You can like things. You can, you know, create comment chains and talk with people. So what you really want to do is look at what the profile has and just start creating your own unique content. And a good tip whenever you're sharing on social media is to include some sort of rich media. And by rich media, I mean an image, a video, you know, a snippet of music even. What rich media does is increase engagement. And the more people are engaged, the better. So share a link on your Twitter profile or your Facebook or Google Plus page. Share an image on, you know, your Tumblr page. Create a presentation on a site called SlideShare. Just look for ways to create that really great, engaging content and go from there.
So we're talking about step seven here, share rich media. And you mentioned one in there that I'm hearing more and more. It's like kind of this hidden, best kept secret, even though it's come up on this podcast a couple of times. So I'd like to expand a little bit more on it, which is SlideShare.
Yes.
From where you sit, how relevant are SlideShare presentations from a standing out or showing up in search standpoint?
Sure. So to give a quick snippet of what SlideShare is to any listeners that might not be familiar, SlideShare is a presentation sharing platform. So if you create a PowerPoint or if you're on Mac and create a keynote, you can share infographics as well, documents. And what it does is allows you to upload presentations or documents, and it creates a little interactive slideshow presentation for you. And that presentation is embeddable. SlideShare itself shares it with its community, and it's a huge community. You know, millions of people are on this. And what we're recognizing from a reputation management standpoint is SlideShare ranks really well in search engines. because people really engage well with the slideshows because they can be very well designed. They can have big, beautiful images on them. They're just engaging. They're nice to flip through, especially if you're interested in a topic and don't want to read a huge, big article that's full of text. If it has a slide share on it or something like that, you know, you're much more likely to skim through that. So what we're finding is that they're definitely ranking really well. And the beauty of them is that they also can be embedded in other places, like I mentioned before. So if you have a website or a blog post that you created, you can embed a slide share right in there, just like you'd embed a YouTube video. And that can really help increase engagement on the blog post or article. And in turn, it helps it to rank higher. So we definitely recommend SlideShare as a top profile to be on. Every single one of our clients, you know, as long as they want them, they have them. And, you know, in terms of figuring out how to create them, they might go on the site and say, oh, you know, I'm not a designer. I don't know what I know. This seems so much work. But I bet everyone has a presentation in their arsenal that they've used for client meetings or they've given at a conference or they send to potential customers when they're interested in something, you know, a PDF they might have laying around. It's very easy to use what you already have and put it online. And now it's a really great piece of content that could rank for your name.
Yeah, you got me thinking. I was privileged to speak at three different places this year. And now I'm thinking, can I repurpose my presentation into a slide share?
Absolutely.
And then embed it on my website, which takes us to number 8, which is purchase your domain name. Why is it important for people to own their domain name?
For a number of reasons. The first is a somewhat selfish reason. And that's, you know, even if you're not planning to build your own website right now, securing your domain name just ensures that no one else is going to be able to purchase it out from under you. So someone with your name. So when I went to go purchase SabrinaClark.com, it was already taken. So I can definitely advocate for securing your name while you can. And you can go to a number of domain registrars and just, you know, do a quick search for your full name. Again, the name that's, you know, on your business card that people are searching for and see if it's available. So if yourname.com isn't available, you can try for something like a .net or a .org. Those are all okay too. The .com is definitely the holy grail of them, but if you can get your name with any type of domain, that's great. If not, I would add what we call a qualifier. So yourname.realestate.com or yournameonline.com. Once you have the domain, the second reason why it's so important is applying it to a website or profile helps the profile rank much, much better for your name. It's one of the most authoritative things that you can do that Google will really appreciate and help it rank on the first page. So if you have a personal website or a blog, you can put the domain on it. There's also a number of profiles that are coming out that allow you to apply a custom domain. So even if you're not really ready to build your own website just yet, there are profiles that allow you to do that as well. Tumblr is one of them. Brand Yourself is one of them. So you can also leverage domains there to help the profiles rank well.
I did the same thing you did when I Googled my name first. My first thought was, well, I'm going to need to go purchase my domain. And come to find out, one of the other three Ryans had already purchased it.
Right.
Fortunately for me, he was sitting on RyanRoten.com and not doing anything with it. So what I did was I went to the Whois directory, which if you just type in Whois online, it'll pull it up and you can find out who owns websites.
Yep.
And I noted when it was going to expire and I actually put that date into my phone. You know, and it just turned out a year later, it became available and I was able to purchase it. But for that year, I was RyanLRoten.com.
Right.
And just something as simple as adding a middle initial can help you get that .com that, you know, you already mentioned is like, it's the holy grail. Everybody wants the .com.
Definitely. And again, .net, .org are great too. There are some what we call hipper extensions. So, you know, .com, .net, .org are what we call the domain extension. And now you can get anything. It's so ridiculous from .pizza to like .bingo.
Well, I have RyanRoten.rocks.
That's cool though. That's cool. You could do something with that. But, you know, they're relatively new domains. It's kind of hard to tell how well they're going to rank. So they're definitely cool to have as a novelty item or if you have a special project in mind. But for your full website, I would definitely recommend, you know, sticking with some of the more traditional ones.
Step number 9 was try your hand at blogging. Mm-hmm. So for the people who hear that and they cringe and they go, I don't want to do that. What advice do we give them to let them know that, look, blogging is a good thing for you?
Yeah. At first I would say it's going to be okay. It's not that hard. When I say try your hand at blogging, I mean, you know, just putting out really actionable and valuable content on behalf of yourself so that you can really build out your online brand and your online reputation. There's so many platforms now that make it so simple. I would probably, at the top of my head, is a site called medium.com, if you're not familiar with it. So like low, medium, high. All you need to sign up is a Twitter profile. It was started by the guys from Twitter. So, you know, look what they did there.
Look at that.
So you sign up with a Twitter profile and you can start blogging immediately. Of course, there's always a time constraint. So again, really setting a schedule that you think you can stick to, thinking about topics that are relative to your industry, to your audience. Going back to that real estate example, take a look at, hey, you know, what are some pieces of content that I can write that I think someone who's looking to hire me as a real estate agent is going to find valuable? You know, maybe it's buying trends in your area or the 10 great places to eat in New York, if you're a New York real estate agent, really taking a look at that type of content. And again, putting in what you already know and what you've already put in. So just taking a step back to really think about what you could write is probably the only barrier you have right now to blogging.
The last easy step here to improve our online reputation is to create a hub that is about us on the web. And this is the personal website that you have spoken to about earlier. So now This is getting a little bit more technical.
Sure.
So we can try our hand at blogging for free on places like Medium, where we really just kind of log in and start typing. But what about your customers or people who are really apprehensive about starting their own personal website?
I definitely would recommend taking a look at your skill level and being kind of honest with yourself about given time. Now, there are so many sites and now that allow you to build a website for free to little to nothing, you know? So we typically recommend WordPress. You can sign up for free. There are a number of free templates that are basically plug and play, and you wouldn't have to be too, you know, technically savvy. Now, if you're looking for something that's super custom, you just have to kind of be honest with yourself about potentially working with someone to build that website for you. But I can't stress enough how important it is. You know, that is the website, you know, you mentioned is that hub. It is the place that someone's going to go to learn everything about you. It's really something that you should be putting in your email signature, on your business card. You can direct people to it. And you can really craft your own message there. And that's really where your brand lives. So if you're concerned about if you're really concerned about the technical aspects and you've taken a look at some, you know, site builder sites and still think it's a little much, then I would really recommend, you know, taking a look at someone handling that work for you.
So we've got this website that's going to be our hub, but what do we do with all this, I'll call it stuff, right? But what do we do with all this stuff that we've just created?
Sure.
Is there a way that we can use it all to help Google understand that this is stuff about us?
Sure. So now you got these baskets of contents and profiles.
Right.
What do you do with them?
Right.
So the best way to indicate now to search engines is, hey, all this stuff is related, is to now link it together. So if you have your personal website, you know, you might have a contact page that also has all of the other profiles about you online where, you know, hey, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, check out my slideshares, catch me on Medium. My latest post was this. By linking to all of the profiles, you're able to indicate to search engines, hey, you know, all of these things are about this one person that this person's searching for. So maybe we should have them all ranked together. And vice versa with your profiles. There's typically a field that you can put for a website. So you'll be able to link to your website, and from your website, link back to your profiles.
Like I said at the beginning, I could talk to you on this stuff for a lot longer, but I know we both have things that we need to go do. So for those listening that would like to know more either about you or about Brand yourself, what is the best way for those listening today to get in touch with you?
So the best way to learn more about Brand Yourself is to go to brandyourself.com. You can sign up for a free account right there. And our number is also there. So if you're interested in our services, or if you just have a question, you can give us a call, or feel free to email me directly at S as in Sabrina, Clark at brandyourself.com. And that's C-L-A-R-K, no E.
All right. And do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom, tips, anything like that you'd like to pass on to anybody that's listening today?
Well, first, I want to thank you for having me. This has been an absolute blast. I love, you know, everything that you're doing here with this podcast, and really congratulations on getting it started.
Thank you.
And, you know, I just would like to, you know, leave everyone with, at the end of the day, you know, no matter what you're looking to accomplish, if you want to build out your online brand, or if you're looking to suppress the negative, it's rooted in just having a really strong online brand about you and making sure that you're really putting your best foot forward online and telling the story that you want told. Because if you're not the one that's telling it, you really leave yourself open up for someone to tell it for you.
I could not have said that better myself. Sabrina, thank you very much for your time. I learned more stuff again today from you. I can seem to always learn from you. And for those interested, I highly recommend they go check it out. And again, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Are you telling the story you want told, or are you letting someone else tell it for you? As Sabrina mentioned right at the start of the show, people turn to the internet for anything and everything, and you, my friend, fall into that category. Think about it for a minute. If you are going into a meeting with a client, or you are going to meet someone that you've never met before, are you going to Google that person's name before you walk into that room or before you meet them in person? Of course you will. We do this every day, from looking for directions to Googling your date's name. In fact, we Google so often that Google has become a verb. People can, do, and will Google your name as well. And the question for you is, will you be ready for it when they do? Sabrina, thank you very much for being a guest today. As usual, I learned a lot, and my guess is the listeners today did as well. And speaking of you listeners, you know I appreciate you tuning in each and every week. You also know that I want you to be known for the experts that you are. But the only way that you can do this is to own your brand and to take charge of your online reputation. So if you're ready to take that leap, head on over to ryanroten.com/blog setup. You'll find a video that will walk you through the steps required to purchase your domain and get started blogging in less than 5 minutes. That wraps up today's show during Moving Month. We've got one more friend we'll pull from the archives next week to teach us how to lead through our strengths. So until then, I've been Ryan, and I'm out. This week's show was edited and produced by Ryan Roten. Transition music is Tartanella Napoleta by Michelangelo, and the intro and outro music is Pulse by Soundrode.